think that's what caused me to forget to turn the projector on this morning. It was allergies, that's what it was. Last Sunday night, I presented a lesson on making choices. And I stated this morning as we were about to leave, tonight is not part two or conclusion, but it's also about making choices. Now, last week, we looked at Abraham's nephew, Lot, and the choices that he made that impacted his life and how he remained faithful during all of that. Tonight, we're going to look more at some New Testament passages, and we're still going to talk about making choices. My introduction is very familiar probably to most of you. In 1897, Mark Twain, who was recognized as a real intelligent speaker, was asked to come to England and do lectures across England. Well, on the second or third or fourth night of his lectures, he became ill and had to cancel just that night. Well, when news finally got back to the United States, it had expanded to the point that they said, Mark Twain is very, very ill, perhaps on his deathbed. Well, supposedly, and we didn't have social media back then to check the validity of those stories. So a cub reporter, I think for the New York Journal, wanted to get ahead of everybody else. He read where he was sick, maybe to the point of death. So he jumped ahead and published a story saying Mark Twain died. But when that newspaper got to England and Mark Twain read it, he made this very familiar and famous statement. He said, "The reports of my demise are greatly exaggerated." Well, our lesson tonight is not about Mark Twain. It's not about incorrect news. And it's not about death, though we all know that death is certainly a part of life. And I really don't want to get into too much depth here, but let me pose this to you. What if someone came to you and said, "You've lived an interesting life. I want to write your biography. I want to write your life story. But I want it to be accurate. So before I publish this biography, I'm going to let you proofread my notes." Now, brethren, I don't know about you, but I certainly would want to proofread those notes. I'm sure that they might discover some things that were said about me that I didn't think was perfectly accurate, or maybe wasn't even true, or maybe they wanted to publish some things that were true that I didn't want to have published. But what if they came and they said, "I want to write a biography about your life"? And brethren, I don't know if you're the same as me. I don't know, but what I'm not speaking for you as well as for me. But you know, if I could go back in time, and we can't do that, but if I could go back in time, there are some things that I would change. There are some things that I would do differently. In fact, probably a lot of things that I would do differently. Now, with that thought in your mind, let me introduce our text. Our text comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 13. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, the Apostle Paul finds himself once again defending his apostleship. Those Judaizing teachers, those false teachers, were traveling around, stirring up trouble for Paul, and it appears that they got the attention of some of the Corinthian brethren, and some of those Corinthian brethren were really wondering if God was really, or Jesus was really speaking through Paul. That's verse 3. Now, in the context, Paul says, "Don't worry about me," and of course I am paraphrasing greatly. "Don't worry about me. You need to examine your own lives to see if you are in the faith." That's much like what Jesus says or teaches in Matthew 7 verse 1. "Judge not that you be not judged." Make sure you know that your judgment is righteous. So they're questioning Paul. Paul defends his apostleship and tells them the truth. "You need to examine your own lives and make sure that you are in the faith." brethren, up to this point, my lesson has been rather negative, and I really don't like to present negative lessons. So making the right decision, that's what we're talking about, is a very positive biblical concept. Let's move to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Paul is talking about making the right choices. And he says, you need to make the right choice from being an old creature to a new creation. Well, I don't know about you. I don't want to be an old creature. I'd much rather be a new creation. And he tells us how we do that. We do that by being in Christ. And once we are in Christ, we realize there are choices that we make now that we wouldn't have made before. There are decisions that we make now that we wouldn't make before. There are some changes, perhaps, that we will need to make in our lives. In fact, if Christianity doesn't change us, I'm not sure if we have really accepted the concept of Christianity. We change our behavior, absolutely, but we also change things like our disposition. We change things like our attitude, like our values, like our commitment. Once we are in Christ, our whole life changes. That's what Paul is saying. You're either we are either an old creature or we're a new creation once we are in Christ. So once we are in Christ, we begin to live by his standards. Before we're in Christ, we make our own standards. Now we live by his standards. Or as John says in 1 John 2, verse 6, if we claim Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we must live as he lived. Or as the King James says, we must walk as he walked. And John also says we must do it that way. So that's what God wants. God wants us to come to Christ. He wants us to make the decisions that are correct for being in Christ. Make the right choices. That's what he wants. But not only is that what he wants, he's there to help us. He helped Paul change from being the number one persecutor of the church in the whole world to the number one messenger of the gospel among the Gentile community. He helped Peter change from being a fisherman to being a very effective fisher of men. He made Matthew change from being a tax collector, being paid by the Romans, to being an apostle. So that's the bottom line. If we want to change, God will help us change. If we want to change, God will help us. And from our text, Paul says we need to examine ourselves and see if there are changes that need to be made. We need to prove ourselves to ourselves and make sure that we are in the faith. So God wants us to make proper changes. He will help us make proper changes. And if we change one thing, it will affect everything else in our life. What do you think that one thing is? If we change one thing, it will affect everything else in our life. Our heart. The heart is the very essence of who we are. God wants our heart to be right with him. Not just outward appearance. He wants our heart to be right. You might remember in 1 Samuel chapter 16. The leading prophet of that day was Samuel. God instructed Samuel to go to the house of Jesse and there to choose the next king. Now, Saul was the king at that time, but Saul was not living up to God's standards. So he's going to go and choose the next king. Well, if I remember the story correctly, the first son comes in, big, tall, good-looking, strapping young man, and Samuel says something like this, here he is. This is bound to be the one. Look how good-looking and tall and strong he is. This has to be the one that God chose. And to paraphrase, God said, you're looking at the outward appearance. I look at the individual's heart. It's our heart that matters to God. You remember several times in Jesus' ministry, he condemned the scribes and the Pharisees, saying, you wear these fancy clothing, you wear these tall hats, you put phylacteries or ribbons around yourself showing how smart you are, but you're not right with God on the inside. You look so righteous, you look that calls them in Matthew 23:27, why did sepulchers full of dead men's bones? Why did sepulchers, why did tombs, caskets full of dead men's bones? And that's what they were. He says, in the same way, on the outside you appear to the people to be righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. You know, we don't sing this song very much anymore. I'm not even sure if it's in our book, but the song asks the question, is thine heart right with God? And then that's a question we need to ask ourselves every day. Now, let's say when we examine ourselves, let's say when we ask ourselves, is my heart right with God? Let's say there is some area that we believe needs to change. How do we do it? Well, let's look at the Bible example. We look to King David. When King David realized that there were some heart areas that needed to change, what did he do? Well, in Psalm 51, verse 10, he says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God." Elsewhere, other translations say, "A clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." So we need to go to God in prayer and ask God to help us make those changes that need to be made. In 1 Samuel 10, verse 9 and 10, this is when Saul was first being made the king of Israel. It says that when Saul turned away from Samuel and was about to leave, King James says, God changed his heart. God can do it. Regardless of how far or near our heart may be, God can change it. He will help us change it because that's what he wants. Now, some of you might be on cholesterol medicine. I don't know. I'm on cholesterol medicine because it's not that my bad cholesterol is too high, my good cholesterol is too low. But I take cholesterol medicine. Cholesterol medicine is to make sure that the cholesterol or the plaque doesn't build up in our bloodstream and we might have a heart attack. Brethren, that sounds like sin to me. Sin can build up in our lives and we might not even realize it's there. It's truly a silent killer. It can build up in our lives and clog our spiritual hearts. Therefore, we need to get rid of it. That's what Isaiah says in Isaiah 59:2. It is sin that separates us from God. So if sin controls our heart, we are alienating ourselves from God. We need to break down those barriers, and God will help us do that. Let me just share with you three passages in closing. 1 John 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, or if we confess our faults, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Above all else, guard or protect your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And finally, Ezekiel 18, 21 and following. But if the wicked turn from their sins and keep all the Lord's commandments and does what is right and just, God, he will surely live and not die. God will help us in that. Now, brethren, in the lesson tonight, it was designed for Christians. It was not talking about first principles, but perhaps someone is here. Having reached a degree of maturity, you're now ready to be baptized into Christ. Start that life with Christ. Make those needed changes. Or if for some other reason anyone needs to respond, the number has been announced. Barry is ready to lead that song. If you need to, won't you come to Christ now as we stand together and as we sing.